Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I was talking to you last week about the favor of the first. You may be seated. You know, we take one verse and we try to build an entire thesis or an entire doctrine out of it and not rightly divide the word. And we like, well, God is no respecter of persons. Well, he's certainly not in the fact that we can all be saved, but he is certainly, certainly a respecter of behavior and reaction and response. All of those promises in Deuteronomy, they're only if you will adhere to his commandments and follow him. And so the truth is that very few people are living under what we call an open heaven or the favor of God. And when I say few people, I'm not even talking about the world. I'm talking about Christian people. The Bible said, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You know, there's just a whole list of people, and years ago I quit trying to call people's name, but they're on television, on radio, and just blasting prosperity. And these people that are doing that, many times themselves, are unbelievably rich and wealthy, and yet they're preachers of the gospel. And so they're against prosperity. So apparently they're for prosperity for them, they're just against prosperity for you. It kind of sounds like the government a little bit. I tend to adhere to the Word of God. I don't care what the trend of the church is. I don't care what the televangelists say. I don't care what the thought process of the theologians and the seminary is. What does the Word of God say? It's pretty clear in this verse. And all these things shall be added unto you. We are not to seek the things, but they are an inevitable response if you seek the first, the kingdom of God. We're to seek God's kingdom first, not some, but all. All of those things. And so I talked a little bit last week about seeking God first. I talked about first love, and the Bible talks about that. I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. I talked about first faith. He said you've cast off your first faith in 1 Timothy. I talked about first work. Jesus said that in Revelation 2 and 5. But I'd like to talk today, I'd like to begin today talking about first praise. First praise. The Bible tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We would be shocked if we would get spiritually programmed to where our response to everything that happens in our life would be to praise God. To praise God first, regardless whether it was good or whether it's bad. Just take a step back and begin to praise God. I've tried to do that. It's very difficult to do. When you get the wrong phone call or the wrong circumstance, it's very difficult for you to put your praise first. Your first response is to be negative. Oh, no, this is terrible. But if we could learn to respond first to God in praise, regardless of what happens, it immediately initiates the response that God wants to respond, because he really does want to fight your enemies. He really does want to fight your battles. He really does want to turn what the devil means for evil to good. He wants to be your God. And in order to be your God, he has to be your Lord. And if he is going to be your Lord, he is your provider. And so that means that no matter what happens, that God can take that and turn it around. But if we respond the way the devil wants us to, that gives the devil a toehold into our life and into our circumstance. But if we can shock the devil by responding to the bad like we respond to the good, it leaves the devil with no ability to come into our life. And the Bible said, give him no place. When you respond to adverse things in your life like the devil expects you to, that gives the devil a place. But if you put God first and say, God, I know this is not a good thing, and I know this is not from you, but I'm going to praise you, God. And I'm going to praise you exactly as if this was a blessing from the Lord that barricades the devil out of your life. And what does it do? The Bible said he inhabits the praise. That gives God an entrance into your life. And if you want the Lord to turn bad things into good, evil things into things that are positive, your first response is to be to praise God regardless of what happens in your life. You remember when the 10 lepers came to Jesus, they were dying from leprosy. And when they came to Christ, they were all healed. They were all healed. And then they went away to show themselves to the priest per the instructions of Christ. But one leper came back. One leper came back and praised God. And Jesus said, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? Well, they've gone to show themselves to the priest. But you have returned to praise me? And he said, yes, I have. And so the Bible said that Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. The other 9 were not necessarily whole. They were just healed. There's a whole lot of people that have got saved that are not whole. They are living exactly like the world does, with all its negativity, with all of its lack, with all of its poverty, with all of its pain. But there are some people within the body of Christ that realize that if you will praise God first, if you will seek first the kingdom of God, that God will not only save you, but he will make you whole. I want to tell you, I've found that my God is able to make me whole regardless of what the lawyers said. I have lived in a time where I've had advisors indicate and advise me that I should declare bankruptcy. I've outlived that enough to where bankers have come to me and said, we want your business no matter what it takes. That turnaround, what was that? It's the Lord making me whole. I've got bad reports from the doctors, only to have those same doctors apologize for a misdiagnosis maybe a month later. They didn't misdiagnose me. They were right on when they said it. But in that period of time when I went back for that next visit, God had made me whole. Praise God. Becky, we tell about it so many times. But I know people sometimes, they get tired of hearing about your testimony. And no matter how many people get tired of hearing your testimony, you should never get tired of giving your testimony. Praise God. Over and over and over. And when the doctor said Becky had a brain tumor and said she had to have immediate surgery on a Friday, and she came back to the house of God and worshiped the Lord and had this church to pray for and went back the following week, that doctor said, I don't understand it. It's gone. It's totally gone. What is that? That's putting God first that the Lord can make you whole. I know you're saved. I know your sins are washed away. I know that if you die, we can have a nice funeral and say good things about you. But don't you want to be made whole now? Don't you just want to have joy unspeakable? Don't you want to have the provision of God? Don't you want Jesus to be your Jehovah Jireh now? Don't you want him to provide whatever you need in every instance? Don't you want the Lord to fight your battle? Don't you want the Lord to be your Perry Mason, your counselor? Praise God. Don't you want the Lord to be there in every circumstance? He said, if you'll seek me first, all of these things I will add unto you. It's a matter of faith. You will not seek God first unless you have faith. You'll seek the things first. You'll say, let me work this out. Let me take care of it. But if you've got God, if you've got real faith, you'll say, let me seek God first and let God handle this for me. The Bible said there many are called, but few are chosen. Those chosen are those that have chosen to be first in everything they do in the kingdom of God. And because of that, they're living a blessed life, a blessed life. In Deuteronomy, the Bible said there are a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. He said you're going to be peculiar above all the nations. What does that peculiar mean? It means a set apart people. It means a people that are set apart to be blessed. I know that God is a good God all the time, but I also know that God singles out people to bless them. And it's not people that are a certain age or a certain race or a certain talent. It's people that seek Him first. If you put God first, it puts you in that peculiar people category where God can bless you above your fellows. It is a wonderful thing when people shake their heads and say, I don't know why good things happen to you. And you can tell them the reason why good things happen to me is I put God first. Jesus is my Lord. And no matter what happens, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to praise God in the good times and the bad times and the good times. The bad times will become the good times because I'm a peculiar people. Peter talked about it. He reiterated what was written in Deuteronomy. He said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him that has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. When you realize, you know, people want to teach praise seminars. It's very difficult to teach a praise seminar because praise is something that happens spontaneously because of what's in your heart. When you realize that you are blessed coming in and going out, that you're the head and not the tail, that God has reached in and plucked you out, you're different than your cousins and maybe your siblings and your friends and your coworkers. You're different than the people you graduated from school with. You are singled out. You're solitarily blessed. You're a peculiar people. It just wants to make you show forth the praise of God. That's the reason why you choose a church like this rather than Church X, is because you know you can come here and you are not going to be sabotaged for praising God. I heard about a church where a woman was praising God and two ushers came and they was carrying her out and she was just laughing and praising God. I said, why are you praising God? She said, you know, the Lord came in on one jackass and I'm being carried out by two. Friend, when you come to God's house, you ought to be able to praise God and know that you're not going to be in any way censured for that because you say, hey, I'm a special person. I have been saved. I didn't deserve this. But of all the people in the world, God called me out, washed me in His blood, put His name on me, filled me with His Holy Spirit, taught me to seek the kingdom of God first. And now every day of my life, I've got daily bread. I'm blessed. Praise God. I'm a God-firster. And because of all of these things happened to me, I used to have a friend who was a preacher, and he used to say, you're the luckiest man in the world. I kept saying, brother, it's not luck. It's the blessing of the living God, because in my feeble attempt, I realize I might not always put God first, but I realize He has to be first. I realize that all blessings flow from Him. I said it the other day, I didn't pull myself up by my bootstraps. That's impossible. Praise God. My feet were in the miry clay. God took me out of that miry clay. Praise God. And I can't show forth the praise of God enough. I said, well, you're too extreme. You can't be too extreme in your praise. He's a glorious God. He's a marvelous God. He's a saving God. He's a keeping God. He is a providing God. That God is in this building today, and He is our God. And praise God. Somebody said, well, don't hog all the blessings. It doesn't work that way. God's not telling you that He's going to quit blessing you because He wants to bless somebody else. God has all resources, so He doesn't have to limit your blessing to bless me. God can bless all of us at the same time. It depends on whether we're going to seek Him first or not. Don't deceive yourself and say, well, you know, I think I can go out and get this on my own. No, God's going to give it to you if you seek Him first. We are always saying, God, send revival. And God is saying, revive your first love. Revive your first faith. Revive your first works. Revive your first praise. If you want revival, it starts with you. We are not waiting on a reluctant God. We have a God that is more than willing. We're not trying to persuade God out of his reluctance. We're not trying to rehab God. We're not serving a God that really hopes we fail so he can drop an anvil on us. We are serving a God that's in our corner, on our side, that is cheering us on, that is always leading us on to do better, that is moving into a place where he can praise, where he can perform more things in our life. You can tell when somebody becomes a backslider, and the church is just full of backsliders. You say, well, how can you tell? Because they're drinking and smoking. No, that's not the way you tell. The way you tell when somebody is backslidden is because their first becomes second, or their first becomes third, or their first becomes fourth. It no longer matters if God is praised. It no longer matters if they have a prayer life. It no longer matters if they read the Word of God. They can come to church or they can miss it. It doesn't matter to them. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Let no man deceive himself. You know, when you're trying to deceive people, and people have done that with religion as long as time has been, you're trying to deceive people, you're wasting your time. Because there's not a person in this building, including the guy in the pulpit, that is your judge. You don't have a judge in this world. There are only two judges in this world. One is Jesus Christ, and the second is you. Not your parents, not your friend, your preacher, your spouse. That's not your judge. The only two judges you have is Jesus, and the other one is yourself. He said in John 5:22, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul would write in chapter 11, verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. To deceive yourself is the worst thing that you can possibly do. And people are deceiving themselves by the millions. I judge myself that I will not be judged. It's all about our relationship with Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. It's all about our relationship with him. Jesus said, cast them out because I never had a relationship with them. I never knew them. That word in the Greek means I never had a relationship with them. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You might say, well, I'm a Christian, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not truly a Christian. And if you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? He is your Father, and you are his child, and the Lord is going to make sure that as you seek him first, he's going to add all these things into your life. If you go to work, but you don't come to church, are we seeking God's kingdom first? If we simply say, well, I really need to take my children to soccer practice and their soccer game. They have it on Sunday morning now. That's exactly what the world does. They have everything on Wednesday and Sunday. And so now so many people claim to be Christians find themselves on the sporting field with their children on Sunday morning or on Wednesday. And yet you say you seek first the kingdom of God. That's simply not true. You're deceiving yourself. Coming to church is about one thing. You know what that's about? The Bible said talking about the man of God. He saw him who is invisible. The only reason why you are here and other people are not here, you believe that he who is invisible sees you and is in this building right now. And I have that amazing ability to see him who is invisible. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. And ladies and gentlemen, I really understand what that means. It means constant talking and communicating with the Lord. And if you are not with me, I am talking to the Lord. I can promise you that. I'm never alone. Somebody, one of my family members said, I can't stand to be alone. Well, I can't either. And I ain't never alone because Jesus is with me. Praise God. And I talk to him all the time. E.V. Hill, the great preacher that built it, was from right here next to it. He was raised to a ranch that I own in South Texas over on Sweet Home in Seguin, Texas. But he ended up, he had a degree in agriculture of all things, and he ended up being a great, mighty pastor in East L.A. And it was that place was so crime-ridden and so fearful, people were afraid to go up and down the streets. And E.V. Hill said, they'd never bother me because he said, when I'm sitting in a stoplight, I'm praising God, I'm talking to the Lord, and he said, the word has gone out to all the gangs in East LA. Don't fool with that preacher. He's crazy. He talks all the time to somebody that's not there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I talk to that same God. And he's with me all the time. I see him who is invisible. And so when I come to God's house, I believe this is part of my relationship with the Lord. I see him who is not invisible, who is not visible. He is invisible. I just know he's here right now. I believe Jesus is in this room right now. I believe that he is doing in an invisible way what he did when he walked around the multitude and said, "Will you be made whole?" And only one guy that had been there 38 years said, "Yes, I will." He got up and got healed. I believe Jesus is in this room right now. And I believe he is talking to you. And he's talking to me. And he can hold me. He can, you talk about God multitasking. He can hold a conversation and a different conversation with everybody that's in this room at the same time. He's talking to you about arthritis. He's talking to this woman about her money. Talking to this lady about her husband. The Lord is talking to you. And as your faith is, so be it unto you, because you're seeking God first. And all these things the Lord is going to take care of. He's going to add them to you. The Lord takes care of me from the smallest details to the largest details. I mean, large things, multi-million dollar deals, God takes care of. Cancer diagnosis, God takes care of. But he also takes care of the smallest things. I've told you this story three or four times because it impacted me so greatly to realize how small God is. Everybody talks about how big God is. Oh, it's how small God is. He is so small, he can get inside me. God can be the size he needs to be. When my daddy was laying across the road a few days from dying, and he was in a coma and hadn't said a word, my daddy was a major baseball fan. He was a major St. Louis Cardinals fan because he's raised in Southern Illinois, and that's the closest team to Southern Illinois. I have not looked at baseball. I used to pitch in Little League. I love baseball, but I just lost interest. I hadn't followed a baseball game in 30 years. I got up one morning, Daddy's laying there in a coma, and before I left my office, I got a newspaper. I said, "I wonder how the Cardinals are doing." I could care less how the Cardinals are doing. Hadn't thought about the Cardinals doing anything. And I looked, and the Cardinals were 3 games in front, leading their league 3 games in front. I went over to set my daddy's, as I was doing in those days, just, and he wasn't saying, he was in a coma. He looked up and he said, "Hey, bud." He called me bud. "Hey, bud." He said, "How are the Cardinals doing?" I said, "Daddy, they're 3 games in front." He said, "Great." He went back into the coma. He never spoke another word except just as he was dying. He said, "Who is the big man by the door?" Apparently was an angel standing by the door ready to escort him out. But the point I'm making is, I hadn't looked at the Cardinals since. I don't care about the Cardinals. But God said, this is such a small little deal, but I'm going to have you the information. The Bible said, take no thought of what you're going to say. The Holy Ghost will fill your mouth. Even when it's about the Cardinals, yes, that's how small God is. God is involved in the smallest detail of your life, and he is involved in the biggest crisis of your life. You just got to seek God first, put everything in his hands, and say, "God, I'm going to trust you with everything. I'm going to trust you with my family. I'm going to trust you with my health. I'm going to trust you with my money. I'm going to trust you with my education. I'm going to trust you with my job. I'm going to trust you with everything I've got." And praise God, you can just rest assured, I'm going to be a regular customer of God. The regular customers get the best service, and I'm a regular customer of God. I don't just trust God when the doctor gives me a bad report. I trust God when I get a good check in the mail. I trust God when I'm feeling 100% healthy. I trust God every day. I don't have to come to God's house. I get to come to God's house. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I am in a relationship with the Lord. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. And as I seek first the kingdom of God, he is adding all these things unto me. And he literally takes care of everything. Everything. I just love the fact. See, most of my life is not about big things. Most of my life is about small things. And God, these small things, they start adding up very quickly. And God takes care of the details in my life. God takes care of the details. He said, it's very difficult for a rich man to go to heaven. He said, it's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. But you know what? God is so detailed, he can thread the needle. Oh, God is a good God. As big as you need him to be, as small as you want him to be, as large and as intimate as he can possibly be. And that God is in this building today, and your little problem might not mean nothing to the man sitting across the aisle from you, but it's something to you. God can take care of it. Cast all your cares. Seek first the kingdom. He'll add all these things unto you in Jesus' name. God has done it for me over and over and over and over again. Friend, I've lived the whole gamut of life. Some of you say, well, you know, you're blessed and you've always been. No, that's not true. I have been so broke, had no money. I used to had a terrible situation when I was starting this church. We had no money, and God gave me a banker. And she would just let me write hot checks and cover every one of them. But I had to call Claudel every day. And I'd say, Claudel, I've written $50,000 worth of checks for the church to pay bills, and we only got $18,000 in the account. She'd say, Steve, I'll take care of it. That went on for a couple of years. God had that right person in my life, in right life. And finally one day she said, Mr. Frost said, I can't do this no more, but I didn't need it anymore. I preached that sermon that God, all you need is 15 minutes of favor. You don't need them to be a favor in all of your life. Just that one yes, that one amen, that one I'll do it right now. Folks, I just beseech you, put God first in your life. I know you're working so hard. Some of you got two jobs and three jobs, and you're working so hard, and you're getting by doing that. But I promise you, if you'll put God first, it will get easier. God will make a way there is no way. God will open a door that no man can shut. God will shut the bad doors that no man can open. God will become the waymaker in your life. Suddenly you'll have money you didn't work for. Suddenly you'll have healing in your body. I know your daddy had some kind of a disease and the doctor said you've inherited it, but God's able to take that away. You don't have to inherit the Adamic things of life. God's able to deliver you from them. He's in this room right now. And he said, seek me first and I'll add all these things unto you. All these things. All these things. That means health. That means money. That means family. That means cars. That means education. All these things he will add unto you if you'll put him first. Stand on your feet and give God some praise, would you please? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God's in this house. And the number one thing God wants to do is save you. But unfortunately, most Christians quit right there. They just stop there. But God doesn't want to stop when he saves you. You know, most of us, or many of us in this building, are parents. And we had children. And man, that was just a big deal. We wouldn't have children. But when that child was born, we didn't stop. That's when we just got started. And believe me, it never ends. Your children, they will have children, and then you got to start all over again. Some of you raising your grandchildren, and you just got to keep writing checks and providing.